Hello, hello, Consciousness Circle. Happy Monday. Welcome to the start of another week. I hope you had a chance to listen to the weekly forecast for this week so that you can better prepare yourself for what's coming up. And this is especially important because it has a lot to do with the seeds that we're planting with this new moon in Taurus, which is what I'm here to talk to you about today. So let's get started with the basics. This new moon in Taurus is on May 11th, 2021. It is at 11:59 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it is at 21 degrees Taurus. You'll notice through a lot of my lessons that I give you the degrees in which things take place on. The reason for that is that it's important that you know the degrees of the events so that you can go back to your own charts and check the degrees of your own placements. In this case, this is a new moon at 21 degrees Taurus. If you have any planets between 15 degrees and 26 degrees Taurus, it's significant. It creates what we call a conjunction. And I can even go farther out in the orb, but I like to keep it within that range because the closer the degrees, the closer the orb from the planet or the event to your own natal planets, the stronger the energy. So the more you feel the effects of the event, okay? But this is also important for any other fixed signs. Because we have so much action happening throughout the year with the Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus squares, anyone with fixed signs, you need to pay attention to when we are in Aquarius season, Taurus season, Leo season, Scorpio season. So for those who have strong Aquarius placements, who have strong Leo placements, who have strong Scorpio placements, pay attention to this new moon as well, okay? So this new moon is really, really beautiful and significant for a few reasons. The first is that this new moon starts off as a regular new moon, but it ends as an eclipse. One thing to understand is that every new moon opens up an energetic window of 6 months in order for us to take advantage of those 6 months to build upon that which we intentioned, okay? So, because of all of the other things going on in the sky, the nodes, if you haven't listened to my nodes lesson, go back and listen to that. The nodes will change signs from the north node in Gemini to the south and the south node in Sagittarius to then the north node in Taurus and south node in Scorpio. That's going to take place much later in the year, but we will actually experience the first eclipse of those nodes in November. And the first eclipse of those nodes is a full moon eclipse in Taurus on November 19th, 2021, that closes the 6 month cycle of the new moon in Taurus of May 11th. Okay, so I hope I didn't lose you there. Keep the November 19th date in mind. Jot it down on your calendar, put it on your phone somewhere, and understand that from May 11th to November 19th, anything that you intentioned in regards to the new moon in Taurus, that's when it's going to unfold for you. But what's so significant about this is that any lunar event that is an eclipse has the power of three. So a new moon eclipse has the power of three new moons in one. A full moon eclipse has the power of three full moons in one. Again, this new moon in Taurus is just a regular new moon, but the way it ends is really significant because it'll be the power of three full moons in one. So what does this mean? That we plant the seeds right now for something that has significance to us, of value to us, that represents how much we value ourselves, something that represents doing things day in, day out, consistently, committedly, patiently. And come 6 months from now, that fruit will be abundant, extremely abundant. And I use the metaphor of planting the seed and, you know, something growing, not just because it's appropriate for setting intentions in general, but because this has a lot to do with Taurus energy. Taurus energy is an earth sign. It is the sign that connects with nature, that connects with plants, that connects with the earth. This is where I think that this sense of something being organic comes from, because really it's one of the descriptions of Taurus energy. So understand that, okay? On top of that, it's important to keep in mind that from now till November, we're going to have a lot of planets go retrograde and then go forward. This is important because this new moon also technically begins eclipse season. The way that eclipses work, guys, and it's important for me to mention this in this class, we're going to have eclipses on May 26th and June 10th, okay? But those two eclipses are not just eclipse season. It's not just two events. First of all, they're a big, big deal because eclipses are meant to align us with our soul's path, regardless of what ego wants. But the way that some astrologers, including myself, block off time for eclipses is the new moon prior to the first eclipse and the new moon after that second eclipse. So in this case, this eclipse season is going from May 11th to July 10th, okay? Even though the eclipses are in between that time. And the reason that I do that and that I learned this from another astrologer is that so much happens within that time frame. So many life-changing things happen within that time frame. And it's important to take it all into consideration because it allows us to create a map for the rest of the year, okay? So it's a really, really significant new moon, all right? Now, in addition, this new moon has a really beautiful trine to Pluto retrograde in Capricorn. On April 27th, Pluto went retrograde. Went retrograde and it remains retrograde till October. Remember, the full moon in Taurus eclipse that ends this lunar cycle is in November. This is important because whatever it is that we're planting the seeds on with this new moon, that we're promising ourselves that we will remain committed and patient and really stick to the things that we want, really commit ourselves to the day-to-day, has a lot to do with Pluto going retrograde and us going deep, deep, deep within ourselves in order to build something that is truly, genuinely meaningful to us. Okay. So with all of that said, now that I've taken up about 10 minutes of your time, I'm going to go into the alignments of this new moon, which is really significant. So like I mentioned, the sun and the moon coming together and Taurus creates a new moon. And one of the most beautiful connections that this has is the trine to Pluto retrograde in Capricorn at 26 degrees. What we are building, what this represents is that what we are building, not only is it coming from the transformation that we endured over the last 18 months, and that's a big period of time, guys, but that's how long it has taken us to transform. And when you think about the bigger picture, 18 months is not a very long time. Therefore, for a lot of us, the transformations that we've endured over the last 18 months have been extremely significant. Now, the seeds that we're planting with this new moon have to come from the lessons we learned from that transformation. Therefore, continuing the transformation even more. perhaps it not feeling as painful as it did even 6 or 8 months ago, but definitely coming from a much wiser place within us, okay? The sun and the moon also create a sextile to Neptune in Pisces. Neptune in Pisces is the energy of let go and let God, believing before seeing, understanding that there is cosmic backing and support towards what we are intentioning with the new moon. This is really beautiful because that Neptune in Pisces is at 22 degrees. That 20 to 22 degree mark in Pisces has been so active. Also, over the last 18 months. This is why degrees are so important, guys, because when we pay attention to the progress and the transgression of the planets in the degrees, in the signs, we notice that the planets are trying to send us a message, and they don't move as quickly as we think they do. We think that cosmic events move really quickly because of the way that astrology is advertised. And I totally get it. I totally get it. But that's why I'm here, to remind you that everything is a process. And more often than not, it's a lot slower than we think. Thankfully it is. Because think about it. Think about times when you have moved too quickly into something and you're not prepared, or you're not emotionally available, or someone else is not emotionally available because things have been moving too fast, or you don't have the skills necessary to perform a certain job because you moved into it too quickly. A lot of things that happen too quickly tend to dissipate just as quickly, okay? So this sun-moon sextile, Neptune in Pisces, is not only reminding us that we have cosmic backing, not only reminding us that we need to just trust and believe in this new path that we're taking, but it's also it also represents the redefinition of our dreams. How can it not? If this new moon has a connection to Pluto retrograde in Capricorn, and Pluto in Capricorn represents the transformation we've endured to our core over the last 18 months, How can that not redefine our dreams? How can from that space we still have the same dreams and things still mean the same? It doesn't fit. From this space, Neptune in Pisces is reminding us, good, you've redefined your dreams. Now trust and believe that as long as you stay committed, patient, loving, compassionate along the process, things will come to fruition in a way that is so much better than you have envisioned in the past. Whew, that's beautiful. Neptune in Pisces is really beautiful energy, but it moves very slowly. And thank goodness that it does. Because of what I mentioned before, but also because it reminds us to get in touch with higher self, with spirit, and to remember that we co-create this reality, that we don't have to build it on our own, that asking the universe, that asking the cosmos for guidance and help is available to us. And when we remember that, and not only remember it, but actually believe it, we can accomplish so much, okay? Now, this new moon also shows us Venus and Gemini, Mercury and Gemini, the North Node and Gemini. This is a really big deal because Gemini energy is where eclipses are going to take place. So, Venus and Gemini at 3 degrees is important to take a look at because Venus was retrograde in Gemini last year between May 13th and June 25th. So really, block off all of May and all of June and think back on things like what happened in your relationships, what happened with a romantic relationship, what questions were sparked about the relationship with yourself, what questions were sparked about what you found valuable, what changed in terms of what you wanted to give your time, effort, and energy to? All of these are Venusian terms because they have to do with value and they have to do with relationships. Venus, having been retrograde last year in Gemini, and then she coming into Gemini this year, renewed, refreshed, redefined, right? It's like Venus in Gemini 2.0 is really significant. She is now reminding us, remember what you discovered. Remember what you learned about your relationship with others and relationship with yourself 12 months ago. Now you can do things better. You can do things differently because now you know that you have options. Now you know that there isn't just one way of doing relationships, or there isn't just one strict way of relating with yourself. Gemini energy is very light energy. It's not heavy like Saturn or Capricorn. It's not heavy like Scorpio. It's not deep and profound in that way. That's not to say it's shallow, but what it reminds us of is that when we are in a space of lightness and presence, and lightness, I mean when we don't make situations too heavy, from that space, there are more solutions to problems. From that space, we can, for instance, understand that if we're dating one person, it's okay to date other people too because we have options, and that we don't have to put the weight of wanting to be in a relationship with the one person that we're seeing. Do you see what I'm saying? Venus in Gemini is reminding us of the different options we have when it comes to relating. Not just because we have multiple options, which it does represent, but because there's something inside of us that was unlocked that made us see the potential in life. When we see the potential in life and situations, we are presented with so many more options, so many more solutions, so many other points of views. And for those of us, myself included, that can be kind of tunnel vision, we can have somewhat of a tunnel vision towards life and the things that we want. It really takes a weight off our shoulders. Oh, so you mean that I don't have to do all the things all the time and exhaust myself. I can do some things, and then if I need help, I can ask for help. Help is an option. Reaching out to someone is an option. Reaching out to community is an option. Okay, so I think you get the gist of Venus in Gemini. So her role in this new moon is, yes, you're planting a seed. You're promising yourself to stay committed, to stay patient, to just continue forging ahead. But understand that along the process, you might discover different ways of doing things. So one thing that I've said a lot, especially over this year, is keep your intention the same, but remain flexible in the approach. We set an intention with this new moon in Taurus. We remain flexible in the trajectory of the unfolding of our intention. Because we don't have to do it alone. And that's what Venus in Gemini is reminding us of. Okay? Now, Mercury in Gemini come together with the North Node in Gemini. This is beautiful. The North Node represents our ability and open-mindedness to see the different possibilities, to see a different perspective, to see a different point of view. And Mercury is the planet of cognitive thought, communication, and our perception. These two coming together, Mercury and Gemini at 12 degrees, North Node and Gemini at 11 degrees, this simply brings a new perspective and clarity. We are in a space in which we are much, much clearer about what we do not want in our lives. Just yesterday, Sunday morning, I was teaching a class in which I asked, how many of you feel or finally feel that you are exactly where you are meant to be? The reason I ask that is because a lot of times we don't believe or we completely neglect the fact that we always are where we are meant to be. The difference is that because of the transformation that we've endured over the last 18 months, this concept has finally settled within all of us, albeit through very difficult lessons. We are finally in a space where we can say, I am exactly where I am meant to be. That, my friends, is a completely new perspective. It is a shift. I mean, that's as clear as we can get in life. To say, I am here now, and this is exactly where I am meant to be, it gets rid of these illusions that we need to be better, that we need to do differently. It gets rid of these illusions that we are not farther in life and that we need to be somewhere else. It's presence. It's being present. It's understanding that this moment, this space, this time is so valuable because it holds a lesson for our evolutionary process. That's an aha moment if I ever had one. And that's Mercury conjunct the North Node in Gemini. And this is important because this aha moment will continue to settle in. And I think that that's beautiful. Will continue to settle in because Mercury is going to go retrograde in Gemini in just a few days. So if this notion of I am exactly where I am meant to be right now is finally settled in within you, don't you think that if you have that belief system every single day, then it's much easier for you to accomplish your intentions for the long run? Every single day, we have the ability to do something to build our future, but we only have today. Gemini is reminding us of that, of the present moment and the many options that exist in the present moment. Okay? So, furthermore, Mercury in Gemini also creates a sextile to Chiron in Aries at 11 degrees. So Mercury in Gemini and the North Node in Gemini together create a sextile to the North Node in Aries at 11 degrees. Chiron represents this karmic wound. In our natal chart, it represents this karmic wound that we all carry and bring with us into this lifetime that is meant to evolve, and we're meant to use it as a form of empowerment and not as a form of victimhood. The fact that this is part of the alignment of this new moon tells us the exact same thing. It tells us that the wound that was really raw, really, between July and December of 2020, because we had major Aries energy going on at the time, no longer feels raw. That wound is finally healed, closed, and ready to be exposed to sunlight without the fear of it stinging or hurting, okay? So the way that we look at this connection to Chiron in Aries is really looking at our wound from a point of growth and empowerment and not from a stance of victimhood. It's saying to ourselves, everything I am currently feeling is expanding my capacity to being. So what I mean by that is, again, this recognition that everything we've been through has us in the space in which we are now. And from my experience with a lot of clients, in my classes, with friends, is that we are in a much more empowered space within ourselves. I mean, shit, I am. I know I am. So everything that hurt before, I'm not saying that it's completely painless, because for some people, there's still a little bit of pain. But for the majority, it's just a space in which you realize, man, if I can get through that, I can get through anything or most things in life. And from that space, we allow ourselves to be. We just are who we are. We don't carry this wound. We don't identify with it. It's not who we are, and we know that. Mm. Look, yes, I'm talking about this new moon, and I'm talking about all of the aspects that connect to it, right? But as a side note, it doesn't change the fact that we are still in a, between the tensions of Saturn and Uranus. These tensions throughout the year are meant to liberate us in more way, in more ways than one. So for us to say, I no longer look at my wound from a space of victimhood, but from a space of empowerment, is to liberate ourselves from that victimhood mentality. And think about how much that victimhood mentality has held you back in the past. And think about how you now know the difference. And let me ask you, can you go back to that space? Can you go back to that space where you know what victimhood feels like? You know what it doesn't feel like. Can you willingly allow yourself to go back to that space of victimhood and continue identifying with it? My guess is no. And that's beautiful, because this new moon in Taurus sets the tone to really, really do life differently from this point forward. That's why that sextile, even though it's just a sextile and in astrology it's considered a minor aspect, I don't see it minor at all, especially because it's an Aries energy, and Aries played such a huge factor over 2020, over the trend, over the year of 2020, and it was a huge part of the transformation that we endured. Okay, so in addition, Mercury and Gemini, conjunct the North Node in Gemini, create a beautiful freaking trine to Saturn in Aquarius. Now, this is powerful. And I think that it's just powerful. I can't, it's really hard for me to pick like my favorite aspect of this new moon because I think that they're all just so powerful. So remember, Mercury and the North Node coming together, it's us having clarity, having this aha moment. Trine Saturn in Aquarius, which Saturn represents commitment, discipline, building something from the ground up for the long run in Aquarius, where it's remaining till 2023. This is simply saying, commit to your decision, commit to your clarity. And look, during this eclipse season, Saturn is going retrograde as well, and it will go direct till October. Notice how a lot that we're setting the seeds for now is including retrograde planets, and all of those retrograde planets and other significant events are coming alive again October, November. That's not a coincidence. And it may seem far off, like, oh my God, I have to wait so long. But guys, it's May. I mean, I feel like it was just January last week. Believe me, time goes by faster than we give it credit for. So, this trine to Saturn in Aquarius is saying, yes, commit. But remember that you can't commit to doing things the same. It's going to make you a little uncomfortable. You have to step outside of your comfort zone a little bit, okay? And in order to expand, we need to in order to expand and grow, we need to come out of our comfort zone. And that's why Aquarius energy this year is so amazing. It is the energy, it is the underlying energy of everything happening on top of it. Everything that, all the lunar events, all the eclipses, all of the stuff that happens throughout the year is so that we get in touch with the Aquarius energy. And what is that Aquarius energy? Coming outside of our comfort zone, loving ourselves radically and fully in order for us to be of greater good to the masses, in order for us to be of greater good for the greater good. The only way that we can be better to the people around us is by being good to ourselves. And how are we good to ourselves? Well, that takes work. And that's what we've been doing for a long, long time now. Okay. Now, Uranus in Taurus, okay? Uranus in Taurus is at 11 degrees. And it creates a square to Saturn in Aquarius. This is the discomfort. Everything I've said so far is like, oh my God, I have a newly found sense to relationships. I've redefined my dreams. I have aha moments. I have all this stuff. Yes. Yes. I've been transformed and I continue to transform. But there's still a part of us that has some attachment to the past, and that's okay. Because again, transformation over the last 18 months is a lot in a little bit amount of time. Inevitably, there are still going to be things that we kind of dip our toes back into, things that we think about. We might revert to certain mechanisms, because that's what we're used to at a very core level. That's why this is such a big deal, because this isn't just about us saying, I used to do things a certain way, and now I'm just going to do them differently. I don't know very many people that can do that. Because for a lot of us, how we do the things we do, how we do life, it's very, very subconscious. It's very ingrained in us. It's at a core level. To change at a core level takes some time. That's Uranus and Taurus. Taurus represents what we've always done at a core level. And Uranus is saying, no. Time to do it differently. I don't care how uncomfortable it makes you. Liberate yourself from the old. And again, Saturn in Aquarius is saying, yes, we're rebuilding, but we're rebuilding from a different perspective. So to set your intentions with this new moon and say, I'm doing something differently and I'm willing to be patient and loving along the process, is going to require that you still go within, that you still do internal work, so that you are present in the process, so that you are present in the present and not go to the past, not revert back to the past. Because what this new moon is telling us is move forward even if it feels uncomfortable. Move forward, because in the past, when you have promised yourself something, you've given up. And now you've seen way too much to do that again. It doesn't mean that we won't want to give up. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that even when we feel like giving up, that we don't, because we owe it to ourselves. Taurus is the sign of worth and value. Remember that. What have we discovered about our worth and value over the last 12, 18 months? That's the base for our life. That is now the base for these intentions, okay? Finally, Mars in Cancer at 11 degrees sextiles that Uranus in Taurus. Mars in Cancer is an interesting energy, because Mars is action and fire. Cancer is home, family, nurturing, and water. Those two energies, very different together. So on the one hand, this can give you a courageous nurturer, just a protector, right? But on the other hand, it can give you someone who doesn't know what to do with themselves. It can give you someone who doesn't know how to manage their emotions. But Mars in Cancer, sextile Uranus in Taurus, Mars and Uranus are about action, are about doing, are kind of about breaking things. Cancer and Taurus are about the home, what feels comfy, what feels yummy, where I want to be because it feels warm. These two forces coming together are about breaking that. And if we lean into it, rather than disrupting something, we are breaking away and breaking free from something that is no longer meant for us. Okay? So, I leave you with a recap. I leave you with a few themes. This new moon opens up a completely brand new path for us. We have the energetic backing to really create something significant within the next couple of months. Okay? Understand that wherever you are right now, it's a space that you have been contemplating since February of 2021. Okay? Think about what you were talking about, thinking about what transpired in February, and think about how that has to do with the intentions that you're setting for this new moon. Like I mentioned earlier, this is the beginning of eclipse season, okay? What we begin to build with this new moon matters in the long run, okay? We have the support to be clear, strong, and intentional. And I think that a lot of us are already there. There is a balance between doing and allowing things to happen. As remember, Neptune in Pisces, everything else is supporting our day-to-day action. But believing before seeing and understanding that if we need help, we can ask for it from the universe or from other people, we are supported. Trusting the process and trusting support from spirit is a form of surrender and a form of humility. Taurus is the sign of humility. Taurus is the sign of being one with the earth and understanding our place within earth. So to surrender and say, yes, I am responsible for my day to day, but I am also open to being guided. Ooh, that's beautiful. To be open, to be guided by something greater, okay? Keeping us, this new moon keeps us in touch with the bigger picture. This isn't just about setting intentions and then forgetting about it. This is about understanding that what we're building and intentioning with this is for the long run. Believe me, it is for the long run, okay? Be open to the fact that things can unfold in multiple ways. Keep your intention the same and remain flexible in the approach, okay? So I leave you with a few questions that can perhaps help you in your intention setting. How has your focus changed in the last 6 months? In other words, what matters now? What deserves your attention? What deserves your energy, okay? How has your sense of self-worth transformed in the last 6 months? I say the last 6 months, guys, because for a lot of people, it's really hard to remember what they did, you know, even last week. But if you can think back in the last 6 months, it's a good chunk of time because a lot has happened since then. But if you want to go back even further, I'd say go back 12, 18 months. So how has your focus changed in the last 18 months? How has your sense of self-worth transformed in the last 18 months? And finally, are you willing to undergo the discomfort of rebuilding yourself? It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but remember, you've got you. You've got your lessons. You've got your wisdom that did not come easily. Okay? I hope this is helpful. If you have any questions, comments, I'm all over social media, so feel free to reach out. And new moon blessings. Much love. Bye.